Chaim David, how are you doing, Chaim David?
Great.
To see you. We could talk about the other issue. But, anyway, Rabbi Leibowitz, I heard, was giving a shiur about the Super Bowl. Shiloh is about the Super Bowl, so I figured that I would also say something about the Super Bowl. Rabbi Brazil sent around to some of the Rebbe's. Rabbi Blech, Rabbi Benjamin Blech, told over 5 Torah lessons. 5 lessons about Yiddishkeit that one could learn out from the Super Bowl. I said to Rabbi Leibowitz before, it's a little bit funny that I'm talking about the Super Bowl. I didn't see the Super Bowl. How am I learning any lessons from it? But even somebody who didn't see the Super Bowl could learn a lot of lessons. It is true that a person could learn a lot of lessons from sports in general. There's a lot of lessons of certainly about working hard for things and about achieving things. And there, sports is very much, in a lot of ways, a mushel for things that go on in life. There are some people who said that Rabbi Blech quotes from someone named George Sheehan, prominent physician and athlete. Sport is where an entire life can be compressed into a few hours, where the emotions of a lifetime can be felt on an acre or two of ground, where a person can suffer and die and rise again, where the past and the future confuse with the present, etc., etc. So you could learn a lot of things from sports. People work hard at something. So Rabbi Blech suggested 5 Torah lessons. So I'll just elaborate on them a little bit, but I enjoyed it. I figured it was the Super Bowl, Gzeirah Shavah, Super Bowl. So we should have one combined package about the Super Bowl. So he begins by quoting from Ross Perot. Most people give up just when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the 1 yard line. They give up at the last minute of the game, 1 foot from a winning touchdown. That's what Ross Perot said. A lot of times people, they try at something, they try just enough that they don't succeed, and they don't realize if they would just push a little bit more, that's it. They mamish got right up to the line where they almost succeeded. Right, certainly, one would have thought with 2 minutes and 12 seconds left in the third quarter, the Patriots are down 25 points, so you feel like, you know, forget it. Like, you know, it's almost mathematically impossible for them to win the game. But the Gemara has many, many statements to the contrary. We believe that there is no such thing as there's no chance. There's no such thing as there's no chance. And that's a very, very important thing to think about. In Yadus, the Gemara says in one place, Yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas, that a person could acquire his entire olam haba in one moment. In one moment of tshuva, in one moment of courageous behavior, one moment of holding back from something. There's so many moments that a person could achieve his whole life. It's a tremendous mussar. Yesh kon olam sha'achas. We never know when that sha'achas is going to appear to us. That one moment of greatness, that one decision that we make that catapults us into a different realm. So we never know where it's coming. We know that we say in Rosh Hashanah, tshuvu tefilot tzedaka ma'avir nesroa gzeira. There could be a gzeira. The Gemara says in one place, you could even have a gzeira for 70 years. One way, you could do one action and the whole gzeira could be changed. So we believe that there's a tremendous power, even to a moment. Kavachomer to, you know, 2 minutes left in the third quarter, there's plenty of time left to score 25 points. But that's the mussar, that you can never think that it's impossible to get there. You can never have that feeling. And a lot of times in life, we don't realize that success could literally be right around the corner for us. We got there, we pushed, we're almost there, and we're feeling frustrated that we didn't get to where we think we got, but we don't realize if we would just push through a little bit more that we would be successful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu never shuts the door from a person. There's no such thing. Yeah, you could have, like by Paro, some Rishonim say that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut the door of Tshuva on Paro, that he was so bad, he was so far gone, that he had the door shut. But according to many, so the door is never shut. And even if Paro says a Rosh Marusha, but most of us were not yet at the stage of being a Rosh Marusha, we should realize that the door is always open. The next step, we look at the Big Talmid Chacham and we say, we can never be like that. We're never going to be like the Big Talmid Chacham. We don't realize we're right at the cusp. If we put a little bit more in, if we put a little bit more to go, we could get there. Most of us look at the goals that we feel like we want to accomplish, and we feel like, you know, they're just so way beyond our achieving. It's like scoring 25 points in 12 minutes of football. There's like no way. In 17 minutes, there's no way. There's no way. So the lesson, the game is supposed to teach us a lesson. You never know. You never know what you could do. You never know what could happen. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is, how do you react from failure? Right. So apparently the Patriots, for the first, I remember, I was at a conference during the thing, and I took upon myself very strong, I was not going to watch the game, and I did not watch not even a minute of the game. But all over the hotel, there's people talking about the game. You couldn't like avoid, any discussion. So someone told me, like, I sat down to eat dinner, I think it was a lot, what was that? And someone was sitting at the table talking and said, it was like 21-0 or something. Like, I said, oh, the Patriots? No, 21-0, they're losing. Really? The team was favored to, they were favored to destroy. So there was failure. The best quarterback in the world threw a pick six. He was sacked a couple times. He doesn't usually get sacked. That's, he was a little bit off. So you could think that on such a big stage, most of us probably, on such a big stage, when we have these frustrating experiences, we would just shut down. We would shut down and say, forget it, I can't do it. So he quotes over here from the Heilige Rebbe, Michael Jordan, the Heilige Rebbe, famous quote from Michael Jordan. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and I missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. So said Michael Jordan. That you can't get down from failure. Failure has to toughen you up to get even tougher and say, oh, how could I do it? You read a Tosus, you don't understand it, so you get frustrated, you shut it, you close it down. Or, you're trying to help somebody out and it's not working. Or you're trying to make your own plans for the future and you're trying this derech and it's not working. And you're trying this derech and it's not working. And you can get frustrated and say, maybe it's not going to happen. So the lesson of the Super Bowl is, you can't get frustrated. You got to keep at it. The Patriots, they kept at it. That's the sign of a real champion. A real champion doesn't get down when he faces adversity, when he fails. Failure, that's the derech to success, like the pasuk says, "Kisheva yipol tzaddik v'kam." That's what many of the Bali Musar say, that dafka tzaddik has to dafka fall seven times before he gets up, because he understands how to pick himself up. That ze gufa the tzidkos. That's gufa the tzidkos. To know how to pick yourself up after you're down. There's a pasuk. He quotes here a pasuk. Al tehei rasha be'einecha. We can't sell ourselves short. Or Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. Mishnah says, Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. That we all have things that are blocking us from achieving greatness. Sometimes it's the Yetzer. Sometimes it's the Yetzahara. It's very strong. Yetzahara for arrogance. The Yetzahara for pushing things off. The Yetzahara for pleasure. Whatever the Yetzahara might be. So we have to realize, if we get beaten by the Yetzahara time one, time two, time five, time ten, even though it can get frustrating, you can get down, you gotta go back, pick yourself up and go hit it again. And that's what the Patriots did in this game. They didn't let the failure, abject failure of the first half, maybe the worst first half they played the whole season, they didn't let that abject failure get them down. It happens. People fail. Great people fail. And the greatness is the person who picks himself up again. I remember when I was a young principal, so one time I did something very stupid. It involved another yeshiva. I did something that I shouldn't have done. I said something that I shouldn't have done. So another principal from the neighborhood called me up to call me out on it. So I was very young. I didn't realize what I had said was really not the right thing to say. So the principal was very understanding to me, and he said to me, let me tell you the difference between a good principal and a bad principal. A bad principal makes 200 mistakes a day. A good principal makes 200 different mistakes each day. That if you make a mistake, you learn from it, you move on, you grow. It's not a problem to make a mistake. That's normal, it's human to make mistakes. But If you're smart, you won't at least make the same ones. You learn from them. That's the whole point. He quotes here from Billie Jean King. No? A little bit before your time. Before your time. Famous women's tennis player. Fantastic women's tennis player. Billie Jean King, the world's number one professional tennis player, won 39 Grand Slam titles. Summed it up this way. Champions keep playing until they get it right. And that goes for life, just as it goes for sports. Keep playing until you get it right. Keep doing it. Oh. Lesson number three. A lot of these lessons are very interconnected. Lesson number three quotes famous. How do I know these lines always? Because we had a Rebbe here, Rabbi Emerson. He used to put all these quotes up in his room all the time. So I don't know all these quotes from Rabbi Emerson. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Says me, Wayne Gretzky. Famous... famous best hockey player in the history of hockey, Wayne Gretzky. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If you don't try, you can't possibly succeed. Can't possibly succeed. There was a boy, just this week, so there was one boy who was very upset at me in davening. He was talking during davening, and I went over to him and moved his seat. Rabbi, you know, it's not fair. You're always just standing there waiting for us to talk. So he said, you're always just standing there waiting for us to talk. You're always there to catch us. I said, let me explain to you something. If you wouldn't talk, there would be nothing to catch you in. So my standing here would be completely irrelevant. Even if it's true, which of course is not true. I'm not standing there waiting for him to talk. I'm standing there hoping that he's not going to talk. But here's the truth. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. I commit to you. If you don't talk, right, like somebody said, I never had to apologize for something I didn't do. You never had to apologize for something you didn't say. You never have to retract. People in politics like to say you never have to retract anything that you never said. If you never said it, you don't have to retract it. That's the klal gadol. So if you don't, in the opposite way. A lot of times we are so daunted by the challenges that lie in front of us that we figure, I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to. I'm not going to even. You know, why should I even try? There's no way. There's no chance. Why should I even try? So, we can't. Right. The Gemara says, "Kol haschalos kashas." Kol haschalos kashas. Sometimes just to even get started on something, it's like so daunting, so difficult. Like I don't even want to get involved in it in the first place. So difficult. And again, you know, there were in the beginning of the game, tried a lot of things, wasn't working. And a similar message to the other message, but this is even at the beginning of something. Sometimes people don't want to try things. They think they're too daunting. You don't realize. Sometimes that when you're standing on the outside of a certain task, it looks difficult. But sometimes you have to jump into it, and once you jump in, it gets easier to do. Once you start getting the hang of it, if you jump in, if you don't try it, chances are you're not going to be successful. If you don't try to attack something, you have to try it. Sometimes it's just the will to take that first step, to take that first jump, that gets a person going. And Ruchnius, it's certainly that way. In learning and in growth and saying brachos with kavana and davening with kavana, like a person says, no way I'm ever going to do that. No way. Yeah, if you're right. If you say no way, you don't try it, no chance you'll ever do it. But that's one of the big lessons. You got to try. That's a big thing. You never know what's going to happen once you try. Right? Like the pasuk says, v'atishlachas amasa, by Bas Paro, says right that Moshe Rabbeinu was floating out in the Nile, and Bas Paro Vatishlachas Amasa. So Rashi quotes one pshat that her hand magically extended. She sent out her hand, and her hand magically reached all the way out to Moshe Rabbeinu. So everybody asked the kasha, the baby was all the way out there. How did she know that the miracle was going to happen? She's Bas Paro. Why did she even extend her arm in the first place? So that's the chiddush. That's because that's who Bas Paro was. She made her ishtadlus. She did the first step. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the rest. You know, so the idea is to try. You never know, the Rabbanu Shalom can give Siyata Dishmaya, but he can't give Siyata Dishmaya if you don't try at all. That's why, by the way, we have a minhag that when you bench, you're supposed to leave a little piece of challah on the table. Why? When you bench, you're supposed to leave a little piece over from the meal. Don't clear off the challah from the table. There's a minhag to leave the challah on the table. Why? Because when you're benching, you're saying, just like you blessed me for this month, I'd like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please continue blessing me that I should always have food. But if there ain't nothing there, there ain't nothing for the bracha to be chal on. The bracha has to be chal on the bread. You need a little bit of bread there so Hashem can multiply it to say that there's more there. If there's nothing there to start with, then there's nothing for the bracha to be chal on. That's the idea behind the minhag. And the fourth lesson, so this was a quote that actually Robert Kraft, the Heliga owner of the Patriots, so before the game, they were interviewing him before the game. This isn't really a lesson. They interviewed before the game. He really made an incredible statement. I guess lately, you know, he was just honored by YU. He must have some of these ideas more on his head. But I don't know if you heard the quote, right? He said, getting ready for the Super Bowl is a lot like studying the Talmud. Both require intense effort and concentration. Mark Spitz, the nine-time, also a Jewish guy, nine-time Olympic swimming champion, said, well, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Larry Gross, the unbelievably successful hockey coach here who just completed his third 14-0 season, third undefeated season in the Yeshiva League, he always says, you got to be good to be lucky. Got to be good to be lucky. So, right, Jerry Barber, PGA professional golfer, the more I practice, the luckier I get. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Meaning, obviously there's some dimension of the game that's luck, but you got to be very, very good to be lucky. You got to work hard to prepare. The more you prepare, the more eventualities you'll be prepared for. And if the thing goes a little bit wrong, you'll be prepared for it. You got to think and learning Gemara, right? Lefum Tzara Agra. Famous Rabbi Storch loves to quote from Malcolm Gladwell. Anyone who puts 10,000 hours into something, Anu Ameilinu Mekablim Schar, we say. The Ameilus itself is the Schar. You have to put in a lot of effort. Robert Kraft said that the whole team was studying film and sitting there and harving and thinking and how they're going to do. Got to prepare. Ruchnius also, eh? Kedusha requires hachana, right? Rav Hirsch has beautiful Torah. We're going to speak about it tomorrow morning. Rav Hirsch has about why was Klai so, why'd they have to prepare 3 days before Mamad Har Sinai? Why'd they have to prepare? He said the Torah is here highlighting the vast expanse between where the Rabbanu Shlom, the Nosei HaTorah was and what Klai was. The mountain had to be separate. Everything had to be separate. Klai had to realize this is no ordinary thing. This requires preparation. This is going to require work, Matan Torah, Kabbalah's Omer Hashanah. A lot of people, they want to get into learning and they don't realize how much work it takes to know a simple daf of Gemara, how much work. Rabbi Bolzan likes to say here, you know, he said to understand one page of Gemara is harder than the hardest AP course. Harder than AP Chem, AP, AP Bio, everything. Just one to understand one daf of Gemara would know. It's very hard. It requires time, work, and preparation. Finally, quotes from the Heliga Yogi Berra: "It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over." Similar to the lesson from before, right? The Atlanta Falcons know that as a bitter truth. The Patriots made the world recognize it as a beacon of hope when faced with a seemingly insurmountable situation. And Rabbi Blech writes that, allow me to be personal for a minute. Some weeks ago, H.com reprinted an article that he had previously written where he talks about how doctors had diagnosed him with an incurable illness upon checking on the internet with the most recent medical literature that he had 6 months to live. And he wrote that piece 7 years ago when the doctor said he only had 6 months to live. I am still here. Doctors do not understand it, but what I know and they seem to forget is it ain't over till it's over. And only the Ribbono Shlom is entitled to make that decision. Just as Super Bowl can go into overtime, so too our own lives can be extended. I choose to believe it is because I have strengthened my commitment to serve Hashem and the Jewish people that Hashem in turn decided it was in his interest to keep me around a little while longer. It ain't over till it's over. So we should always realize that, right? The Pasuk says, Yok tashef enosh ad daka vatomer shuva b'nei adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu waits for a person till the last moment. To the last moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits. Kolo, that a person has chayim, that he has chiyas, that he can breathe, that he can talk, he can do mitzvahs, he can help people, he can talk to people, he can learn, he can daven. It ain't over till it's over. So, kol zman that Hashem blesses us and gives us time here and strength, we should be appreciative of that fact and use that strength and those kochas to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And you don't have to watch the Super Bowl to learn these lessons. Rabbi Leibowitz and I shared the fact that we're not necessarily in favor. Rabbi Leibowitz tweeted that he loves the Super Bowl. 4 hours of serenity. Nobody bothers him. No, not one Shiloh, not one phone call, not one nobody bothering during the Super Bowl. Everybody's glued. The Shilohs can wait till after the game. Nobody bothered me either. Nobody was complaining about class placement for 4 hours. No one's complaining about who the Rebbe is. Nobody's complaining about the fact that Rabbi Leibowitz left the yeshiva. No one's complaining about anything. So hopefully we should maybe learn these lessons of chizuk, of strength, of attempting, of not getting down. And hopefully we should be zocheh to have lives filled with kirvas Elokim. Thanks for coming.